This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss cutting-edge science, the wisdom of the ages, lessons from pop culture, and our own experiences about how to be happier. This week, we'll talk about why you might try to make each day of the week distinctive and explore the reasons why people who don't like making New Year's resolutions nevertheless really enjoy their 18 for 2018 lists. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft. And Elizabeth, now Wednesdays are distinctive for you and me because that's the day each week that our most recent podcast episode goes live.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And yeah, Gretch, Thursdays are also distinctive because we usually record on Thursdays.
That's right. Now, in episode 177, we talked about the know yourself better question of what is luxury for you? And it was really fun to see people's answers.
Yeah, Alana said luxury for her was spending extra money to buy prepared cut-up fruit. She said, I have always had trouble spending extra money on something that I could do myself, but I realized that pre-cut, pre-washed fruit is a great convenience and really worth the extra money to have something yummy and healthy to eat without the work.
Kathleen said, fountain pens with good ink, simple and straightforward. Audrey said, as a new young attorney, meals often mean scarfing something down in front of a computer screen or mindlessly eating takeout on a couch. So on the weekends, if I can make it happen, I spend time and energy at the farmer's market finding pretty fresh fruits and vegetables to cook carefully with an eye towards its aesthetic. If I can fix even one pretty plated meal a week, that's my idea of luxury.
Yeah, Sarah said, as strange as it might sound, long distance travel is one of my favorite luxuries. And to make it possible, don't use the Wi-Fi. Whenever I go on a plane or bus trip, I bring a book or video game or just listen to my favorite music and bliss out. Several hours of no responsibilities, no expectations, no email or social media. It's very relaxing and helps me clear my head.
Well, Elizabeth, as you know, I do this. I only read when I'm traveling. It's, my mother-in-law does the same thing. It's a great luxury.
Yes. And then Paula said, to have time to myself, gardening is a big luxury. I love weeding and watering my plants, moving and dividing things, and even cutting things back gives me a sense of fulfillment. I am surrounded by beauty in the garden and love the fresh air and the sounds of nature.
Carmel says nice pajamas. She prioritizes sleep, and so pajamas helps do that. Pearl likes to open up her fridge and see so many beverage options. She lists all the beverages she has.
I love that.
Yeah.
I like to have Coke Zero, Diet Dr. Pepper, various LaCroix.
Yeah, me too.
I get it.
Yeah.
Janice said she recently became single, and instead of buying new dishes, she remembered her forgotten wedding dishes. The marriage ended 17 years ago, and the dishes have been in a closet all this time, so she thought, why not use them every day?
Catherine says, TSA pre-check. I don't travel very often, but it feels so luxurious to breeze through the line. Also, heated seats in a car. That's if you live in a cold place. That is a real luxury.
I love heated seats. And speaking of ways to make travel feel more luxurious and easy, Gretchen, it's summertime here in the U.S. So for our very special episode, number 180, and in honor of all the summer travels, we're going to do a very special episode packed with hacks, tips, strategies, and try this at homes for improving travel.
So send us an email or a voicemail. We want to feature your voices. So if you're so inclined, please leave us a voicemail message at 774-277-9336, which is also 77-HAPPY-336. Or you can email us or email us a voice memo to podcast@GretchenRubin.com. And Elizabeth, this week our Try This at Home tip is something that I love. And it's the idea of making each day of the week distinctive.
Interesting. Now, what made you think about this?
Now, as you know, I am a gigantic fan of Laura Ingalls Wilder and the Little House books. And I remember that as a child reading Little House in the Big Woods, I was fascinated by the idea of assigning a particular household chore to each day of the week. And, you know, Laura quotes Ma, kind of this American proverb, which goes, wash on Monday, iron on Tuesday, mend on Wednesday, churn on Thursday, clean on Friday, bake on Saturday, rest on Sunday. And I love this idea of each day of the week having its own distinctive task.
Yeah, and you can adapt this to any area of your life and your week. Like you can have distinctive days at work, at home, for fun, anything. Like for work, you could use this for tasks that are best done periodically.
Yeah, like you might have like update spreadsheet on Monday, process expense receipts on Tuesday, work on monthly report on Wednesday, invoice on Thursday, make phone calls on Friday. Just like anything that you want to do regularly, but you don't have to do every day. And then it's just like, oh, well, it's Wednesday, so I'm going to do my Wednesday task.
In my job, I do everything every day. It's all happening at once. It's like the space-time continuum.
Collapsed.
Yes. But I like this in theory.
Well, or if you didn't want to use it at work, you can use it to make your life more fun and give each day something kind of distinctive and special that kind of elevates that day. And Eleanor, I remember years ago, Eleanor was complaining to me like, and they're not allowed to watch TV during the week. And she was complaining to me like, oh, you know, I don't like Wednesday and like nothing good happens. And it was her most onerous day at school, like all her least favorite classes and everything. So I said, well, let's do something to make Wednesday fun. And so we called it Parks and Rec Wednesday. This was when she was in her parks and recreation obsession, which we still remain obsessed with it, but even more intensely. So on Wednesday, she could watch two episodes of Parks and Rec, you know, before bed. And so that and we still talk about it to this day. Like, oh, look, it's Parks and Rec Wednesday. Even if, but now she can watch any TV show she wants, but it's like, oh,
right.
it's a little something to make Wednesday fun. Or like I often go to the library on Sunday afternoons, and that makes Sunday feel special.
Yeah. Well, and then you have your weekly adventures.
Yes.
With Eleanor and Eliza.
Yeah.
You did have them with Eliza.
So with Eliza, it was on Wednesdays. And now with Eleanor, it's on Friday. And exactly right. Like those makes those days distinctive for me. It makes them kind of stand out in the rest of the week. I love it.
Well, and Gretchen, you can also do this with food. Like I think a lot of people have Taco Tuesday.
What's Taco Tuesday?
A Taco Tuesday? You've never heard of Taco Tuesday?
I have never.
When you eat tacos on Tuesday?
Yeah, I get it. From the name of it, is it communicating to me what it is? No, what is it? What's Taco Tuesday?
Okay, let me see on Wikipedia.
Okay.
I can't believe you
It's on Wikipedia?
Yes, this is a thing. It says Taco Tuesday is a custom in many U.S. cities of going out to eat tacos on Tuesday nights. Restaurants will often offer special prices. For example, $1 fish tacos every Tuesday night. And a lot of people make tacos at home, though. It's like, you know, you have a taco bar at home. Jack often has tacos on Tuesday.
So
it's a thing.
Well, I guess it says it's like in many U.S. cities. So I guess, I don't know, maybe other people in New York know about this or Kansas City know about this. I did not know about it. But I think that's a great idea because, first of all, it relieves decision fatigue because you're like, oh, it's tacos because it's Tuesday. And then also if you really like tacos, which most people do, then you can kind of look forward to it.
Yeah. Doesn't Jamie have ice cream Saturday, Gretch?
Yes, ice cream Saturday, because Jamie, like me, basically doesn't really eat sugar, but he does have ice cream on Saturday. And we'll say something like, "Oh, look, oh, great, it's ice cream Saturday." And growing up, my friend Liz had her household. They were very proper. Like, they would sit down for a meal every night, all together at the same time. But on Sunday, they had kind of a fend for yourself night, and you could do anything you wanted. You could eat anything you wanted, wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted. And so she ate popcorn in front of the TV every Sunday night, like my whole childhood. And her sister
That's ate, so fun.
Yeah, and her sister ate hot dogs. And it was just like, you can do it. So, and I thought that was kind of a nice outlet for a family that was pretty controlled in terms of like its habits. It was like, okay, but one night it was just free for all. And so that was really fun for her. It made Sunday fun.
What's nice about this, Gretch, is you don't have to make every day distinctive. I mean, if you want, you could just make one day distinctive, or the weekdays, or every Saturday and Sunday distinctive in some way.
Right. It's really just this idea of like, can you do something to make a day stand out, either in productivity or in whimsy? You're just making time for things that you love.
Gretch, something Sarah and I are going to talk about on Happier in Hollywood is Fun Friday, which is our line producer, Mark. He likes to do something special every Friday. Like, one week we had In-N-Out burgers on Friday. One Friday, he barbecued himself. He got out a grill on the lot and was grilled hamburgers and hot dogs.
Now, I don't even know what a line producer is, but I guess you will explain that on Happier in Hollywood. So I will wait for you to explain to me that little bit of Hollywood.
Yes.
Well, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly trying to do with my happiness project endeavors is to try to make time feel more rich and more memorable. And also making time for the things that are important to me, whether it's like work that really needs to get done or fun that I want to make sure I have time for. And I feel like this is a try this at home that you can adapt to whatever you want in like whatever degree. Every day, one day a week, it's very flexible, but it's a way to kind of systematically and in a fun way make sure that the things that are important don't get overlooked.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, and Gretch, my new thing, which isn't every Friday, but is Dress Up Friday.
Ooh.
I think I mentioned that.
Yes, excellent. Now let us know if you do try this at home and how you make each day of the week distinctive and how it works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes. And this episode is 179. So go to happiercast.com/179 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, a Google happiness hack. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/happier. That's StoryWorth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. Okay, Gretch, it's time for our happiness hack. And this week, it's if you're having trouble with something, do a quick Google search.
Yes. Now, this, I'm very, very excited about this because a while back, I gave myself a demerit because Eleanor had been complaining that her new contact lenses hurt her eyes. And I sort of dismissed this and waved it away. But then when I finally took her back, because she was never wearing her contact lenses, the doctor said, yes, there are better contact lenses that will not hurt. And then she put those in and she's like, yes, these ones don't hurt. But then when we got home, okay, chapter two, Eleanor was having a lot of trouble putting them in. She did manage to put them in the doctor's office, and so she knew that they were comfortable. But when we got home, she was having a lot of trouble putting them in. Now, I started to do something, which is a mistake that I've made over and over and over again, and I finally caught myself. And the mistake I was making was I was trying to help her put in her contact lenses. She was getting more and more frustrated. We would try day after day. You know, she'd give up. We'd try another day. I would show her how I do it and repeat what the doctor had said, and Eleanor kept saying, it doesn't work. What is the lesson? The lesson is there are many ways to do things right. Mm-hmm. If something doesn't work for you, don't keep insisting that you have to change or do better or there's something wrong with you. Find out, is there another way to achieve this aim? And so finally, I was sitting there in her bathroom and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know this is true. Why don't I go do a quick Google search in YouTube and see if there are other ways to put in contact lenses, other techniques? Okay. So, of course, there's like a million things called a better way to put in contact lenses. So I looked up one, and this was one from Dr. S. I will post a link to it in the show notes. This is a doctor who, she's like in her own bathroom, very low production values, and she just has this very different way of putting in contact lenses. And and she described the problem that her patients were having, and the problem she described was exactly what Eleanor was experiencing. So I knew she was like really speaking to the problem Eleanor was having. So I had Eleanor come to my office. I played her the video. She was like instantly got it. We went right down to her bathroom and she tried it and she got both contacts in the first try.
Oh, that's great.
And she said, for anybody who uses this, she says, it doesn't seem like it's easier, but the fact is you will get them in on the first or second try. It is easier. But the larger, so first of all, if you or somebody you know has trouble putting in contact lenses, I will put a link to this because it worked so well for Eleanor after so much frustration, and now she's happily wearing her contact lenses. But the larger point is, if something's hard for you, don't keep saying it's me, or if something's hard for someone else, keep saying like, well, you should be able to do it the way I do it. I put in my contacts away. I do it every day for decades. Eliza uses the same method. It works for her. That doesn't mean that it's the only right way. Do the research. Right, there might be another way, you know?
Google it. Yeah, usually there's, not only a description, but as you said, a video of someone doing something.
Yeah, and as Eleanor pointed out, like anything that you're having trouble with, you might feel like you're the only one. You're like, why am I the only loser who can't put in contact lenses? But if you're having trouble or if you can't figure something out, there's surely many, many people, tons of people, and this is what the internet is great for. So I'm so happy to have solved the contact lens problem, which really has been going on for years. And then also the reminder, look for an answer. Find another way if one way isn't working.
Yes. Yeah, and Gretch, you know, I've always hated contact lenses too. So maybe I should watch this video and rethink.
Yes.
Maybe I should get contacts.
Yes, yes. Give it a shot. And now it's time for this week's happiness stumbling block. And Elizabeth, this is a big happiness stumbling block for me.
Yes, Gretchen, it's too many words.
Yes. I get so riled up, both I think as a writer and as a listener, when people just use too many words, when there's just words, 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 and people taking a super long time to get to the point, or it's just really hard to understand what the point is because you have to dig through so much language. And the fact is, this just isn't that big a deal. I mean, okay, it's a minor inconvenience, but I get so riled up. I get very disproportionately agitated when I face too many words.
Yeah, and I do something when I'm faced with too many words, which is not an attractive quality, which is I interrupt.
guy.
Like, if I feel like someone's, now, of course, not in a presentation. If I'm in a group of 500 people and someone's making a wordy presentation, yeah. I don't stand up and interrupt. But if I'm in a meeting at work and I feel like someone's over-explaining, I totally interrupt. It is so rude. Often I will find once I've interrupted and they go on that they were getting to a point, a different point that is relevant. And so I actually ended up making the whole thing take longer by interrupting. So I feel your pain. It's hard because everyone, it's like you want to be efficient. You want to move through your day and just blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't know. People think we use too many words, Gretchen.
No, I know. It's very dangerous to raise this because I feel like the possibility that we are indulging in this ourselves is really high. But I mean, it's on the one hand, it's like stay calm. I remember one time I was at Jamie and I were in a meeting together and he like literally texted me like stay calm because he knew that I was just getting so riled up. But it's also good to remember this is something that can be an issue, and we should all, just like you and I are thinking, we don't want to use too many words in our recording. We don't want to write wordy emails. Like, you want to take a second and see, can I say this more succinctly? Can I save the time of five people by cutting down my verbiage so that it's clear what I mean? Can I think about what I need to say so I can say it crisply? I think sometimes we use too many words when we're not sure exactly that we've communicated the point that we've wanted to communicate, so people just sort of paraphrase and paraphrase and paraphrase, kind of hoping that they'll hit the center of the target because they feel like they're not exactly communicating. And so it just takes a lot of time and repetition because there's not that crisp message.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. I try to just remind myself to cut people slack.
Yes. Like
they may be nervous about what they're saying. And I know for me, when I get nervous, I don't speak as well.
Yes.
I'm not as clear. You know, I can sometimes get nervous even in a small meeting if I feel like I'm on stage, you know?
Yes.
So it's just like try to, you know, do unto others, I guess, as you'd have done to you.
Right, right. No, I think when you're nervous, it is hard to get the words out or it's hard to think fast. And so it's hard for your words to catch up. I remember being surprised that we were going to like curriculum night at my daughter's school. And one of the teachers who I knew well said, oh, you know, some teachers really get nervous before having to make the presentation to the parents. And I was really surprised because I'm like, but they just stand up and talk in front of people all day. I would think that would not bother them at all. And she said, no, it's very different in doing it in your classroom and doing a presentation like this. So I think you're right. You might not think that someone would feel nervous, but they might be nervous and that might be contributing to it. Absolutely.
One thing I try to actively do when I'm like losing my mind over, you know, what I feel like is unnecessary talk, usually this for me is in meetings.
Yeah.
Is remember the person's other strengths.
Yeah.
Ah. So maybe they use too many words, but maybe they do something else great.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, remember this, that like this person is a valuable person. They're, you know, helping you. You work well together. Or if it's a friend, maybe you have a friend who tells long stories or uses too many words, but hey, this is a really good friend who's there for you when you need it. So just remember what is positive, because this is really just more of a minor annoyance. There's nothing like moral about this. There's no like integrity issue. It's simply that some people are very wordy.
Yeah, well, in fact, I think that's an excellent point, which the stumbling block is not that people use too many words. This actual stumbling block is my irritation at people using too many words. And if I would just choose, you know, it's the whole thing about your response. If I would just say, I'm not going to get worked up about this because I'm going to cut people slack. I'm going to remember my gratitude and their other strengths. I'm going to remember that people might be nervous. I might remember that some people think a story is better when you have a lot of preparatory windup and just chill out. Then the stumbling block would go away because you're right. It's not, it's like, and how much time, how much effort is it to read a wordy email or to sit through a wordy presentation? Not much. Yeah. So the stumbling block is my own attitude.
Yeah. I do want to point out there's a difference between talking a lot and using too many words.
Yes. Ooh, yes. That's a very good point.
Talking a lot doesn't bother me. It's the too many words to say something that should take fewer words.
Yes. That is a very good point. It's not about volume. It's about how much volume is needed to communicate a particular message.
Yes. No, because it's like every book has a right length. Some books should be long, some books should be short. The problem is when a book that should be short is quite long. That's too many words.
Yes. I always reading Danielle Steele. You know, I love Danielle Steele.
Yeah.
A big romance writer who was just enormously popular in the 80s and 90s, I think. But at some point, I remember thinking, what happened to Danielle Steele's editor? Like, I feel like this book should be 200 or 300 pages shorter.
Yeah.
And I kind of stopped reading them at that point.
Yeah. You don't want to have too many words. The right number of words, but not too many.
Yeah.
And now for a listener question. As always, you can leave us a voicemail question at 774-277-9336 or 77HAPPY336 or email us a question.
This week's listener, Pamela, asks a question related to 18 for 2018. If you're a new listener, 18 for 2018 is a list we did of 18 things we wanted to do in 2018, from the fun and whimsical to the more serious, like make a will is one of mine, which I still haven't done. Anyway, her question is, I'm an obliger and knowing this has helped me tremendously, but occasionally I am stumped by something that I don't understand. Case in point, I stopped making New Year's resolutions years ago because it frustrated me to know that I wouldn't keep them. This was before I started listening to your podcast and before I read your books. However, I started the 18 for 2018 and I am loving it. I have completed about half of the things on my list and started several of the others. I find myself already thinking about what I will choose for my list in 2019. I love this idea the minute you mentioned it and knew I had to do it. My question is, why do I love this so much and find it easy to do 18 things, but can't even handle the thought of making a resolution or two?
Now, see, this is so interesting because so many people have commented about this, that there's something about 18 for 2018 that just kind of let them get things done that had been frustrating them or evading them for so long. And it's interesting, too, that Pamela says that as an obliger, she gave up making resolutions because she could never keep them. That, if I hear somebody say that, that is a big clue to me that they're an obliger, because that's something that obligers often say. And here's the, it's a great example that sometimes the metaphor that you choose, the way you set something up, can really change how successful or challenging someone finds it. And there's just something about a New Year's resolution that works great for some people and does not work at all for others. And similarly, 18 for 2018, so many people are finding this a much more accessible, energizing, fun way to get big things crossed off their list, just as Pamela says.
Yeah, interestingly, Gretch, for me, I've been keeping my New Year's resolution, which was to weigh myself every day.
Yeah.
But I haven't been good about my 18 for 2018. I think it's because the weighing goes into my routine.
Ah.
You know, it's put on my face, you know, cleanser, brush teeth, take pills, weigh myself every single day.
Yeah.
Whereas the 18 for 2018, it just feels like outside of myself and I forget about it.
So again, I think the lesson here is just experiment and see what works for you. Because if you find like, oh, I do much better with this kind of thing, then you can say like, okay, well, how would I do more of that kind of thing? And how, if something doesn't work, then let me move on. I mean, I think one thing about 2018 for 2018 that for some people contributes to why it works is people are putting more fun things on, and that's good. It's important to make time for fun. And I think people really have put that into 18 for 2018 much more than they do for New Year's resolution.
Yes.
And also because it's a long list. Like, you actually doubled your list. You have 36.
I know. Crazy.
But even 18, it's a long list. So if you don't do all of them, you've still done some of them. And so I think people are like, well, I've done half. That's really good. That's more than straight up succeeding or failing with the New Year's resolution. So there's sort of more flexibility in terms of, like, do you feel like you're making progress? And for a lot of people, it's really good to feel like, oh, wow, I'm starting to cross things off the list. So a longer list is actually better than a shorter list.
So if anyone wants to listen to more of our discussion about 18 for 2018, we introduce the idea in episode 147, and then we do deep dives in episodes 152 and 170.
So thanks, Pamela, for that question. It's something a lot of people have mentioned, and so it's interesting to hear your experience with it.
Coming up, Gretchen's got a design your summer related demerit, but first this break.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Cruise in style in a Toyota Camry. With available all-wheel drive and multiple driving modes, you can accomplish anything. Experience cutting-edge available tech like a multimedia touchscreen and wireless connectivity complemented by the reliability of Toyota Safety Sense. It's no wonder the Camry has been the best-selling car in America for over two decades.
Or check out a new Corolla and define your style with a model for everyone, from the sleek and affordable sedan to the super efficient hybrid and the hip and agile hatchback. There's a Corolla made just for you. Toyota has even introduced their spacious Corolla Cross as a hybrid for when your adventure calls for both maximum capacity and efficiency.
And right now, your local Toyota dealer has vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day.
So don't wait. Buy a new Camry, Corolla, or Corolla Cross today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals, details, and more. Toyota, let's go places. All right, Gretchen, it is time for demerits and gold stars. And this week, you are up with a happiness demerit.
Yeah, so as you know, I've spent a lot of time thinking about like design your summer and what I want from the summer. And one of the things about this summer is that we have not had many adventures this summer on our weekends. Now, I really do think there's a lot of value to being bored, because that's when you figure out what you really want to do, like especially for children, and also just and reading. Having time to do some serious reading. And so that's good. But the problem is that adventures make time feel memorable. It's like you're like, oh, 5 years later, you can remember, oh, I remember when we went to Storm King and it was so hot and we saw that, you know, excellent sculpture. But we're having like very pleasant hang around the house kind of weekends, which is fun. But I feel like it just is going to, in years past, it'll just blend in with every other summer and it's not very memorable. So I kind of wish that I had made more of an effort to make plans. Distinctive, memorable plans.
Yeah, I hear you. You just have like the haze of summer as opposed to like, oh, this is what I did this summer. Like if you had to go back to school and write the essay, what did you do this summer? There wouldn't be a lot to say.
Yeah, it's fun as the day's unfolding, but it doesn't leave much of a mark. Yeah. So that's it.
Well, there's always next summer.
There's always next summer. The days are long, but the years are short. We will have a summer again soon. So listen, what's your gold star for this week?
Gretch, our listeners are always asking for podcast recommendations.
Yes.
So, and we're always looking for the next great podcast. So I like to pass them along when I find one. So my gold star this week goes to the podcast 30 for 30, which is obviously a podcast version of the ESPN show 30 for 30. And for the first time, they did a series. So it's five full episodes, not just one episode. And it's on Bikram Chowdhury, I think is how you pronounce his last name, the founder of Bikram Yoga, which is, you know, is and especially used to be a hugely popular yoga practice. It's hot yoga. It's when you do it at like 100 degrees.
Well, mom and dad did that for quite some time.
For years, yes. Yeah. I think it's 26 poses, the same ones every time. But anyway, Bikram himself is just a very complicated figure. And I should say the podcast has adult content, definitely not for kids.
Uh-huh. But
it's just a really interesting story of how he came to the U.S. and built this empire and where it is now and what happened and how he treated people. So I just recommend it. I found it absolutely fascinating.
Excellent. Good. Well, I will post a link to that in the show notes for people who want to get a link to 30 for 30 on Bikram. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Make each day of the week distinctive. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you and what you did to make each day of the week distinctive.
Thank you to our producer, Odelia Rubin. Also, thanks to Andy Bowers and Kristen Meinzer at Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like this show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. There are a lot of people who love podcasts, but there are a lot of people who don't even know about podcasts and how to listen to podcasts. So help a friend, turn them on to the joy of podcasts. And while you're at it, please recommend Happier with Gretchen Rubin podcast. Hmm. And it really does help us if you subscribe to us because that helps other listeners find the show as well.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Gretch, I know from my own experience that baby making is not always simple. There is a lack of knowledge surrounding how to get pregnant. And when you want to conceive, there can be a lack of understanding and resources. Frida Fertility is the only one-stop shop that makes it easier to make a baby with a set of solutions for everything from reproductive health to ovulation tracking to conception aid.
Frida is simplifying the journey to parenthood with products that help you go from trying to making a baby. Frida products are innovative, easy to use, and accessible, from ovulation prediction to at-home insemination kits. This is baby making simplified. Find Frida Fertility on Amazon, at Target, and select CVS stores near you. That's Frida Fertility, F-R-I-D-A, Frida Fertility.